Zontix and Magix are like the modern era Zeus and Edward from
There
that
you go.
2018 LAFC.
Classic.
They are basically the same thing,
Right.
right? You've got the best player in the world, and you've got two players that absolutely cannot find a way to be impactful to save
Yes.
their lives.
Right, we're back for another episode of Roster Mechanic. And if you don't know, we do like to be somewhat topical, where either it's a new roster move, or in this case, the mechanic part is going to be the key emphasis, because after the major loss, it was easy to cope. What you could say is, well, we technically don't know how Team Spirit will play because they haven't got Halley back yet. Turns out he's in some sort of life-threatening condition in hospital, believe it or not, which is why he couldn't attend. And if people don't know, Sopfick, the academy coach who'd been standing in for those two events, Rio and PGL Astana, he actually wasn't available because he couldn't get a visa to come to Europe to go to Cologne. So obviously they had a toy frog sat behind them who, despite what people on Reddit said, I actually think did a very poor coaching job because he obviously didn't do any coaching job, did he? Like, they just played the games. And that's why if you ever saw, I always told people, forget the Falcons series, which I think with the coach they could have won. They probably should have lost that G2 series. Like, yeah, that Magic's like 1v4, where it actually was complete bullshit. Like, if that doesn't happen, I think they just lose that game and then it's G2 versus Falcons semi. So already, we were already teasing the idea, like, maybe we can cope, because I'll lead with this. The reason why it's going to be a rare example where we're actually going to be able to contrast an A-B test a coach, which normally is not something we can ever do with a team, is because they've coached the exact same roster, just with a little bit of a gap. So we've got Halley before, then Halley afterwards, then we've got the middle part of Sopfick. And as far as I remember, I'm almost certain this is true. If you look it up, it was either at the beginning of the major or the first week of the major or something. The CEO of Spirit basically said on Twitter what sounded like music to everyone's ears. He basically said something along the lines of, what we'll do is, like, it is Halley's team and he'll come back as the coach, but we'll also bring Sopfick in to, you know, add whatever he was adding. Because remember, in all those interviews, the players kept saying and kept even telling, like, broadcast talent, like, that Sopfick was changing, like, the flashes and maybe people's roles. And then if you just saw in the game, certain people, Tenet was the obvious one we've all been waiting for. He was actually having some of his best tournaments of the year, and it allowed you to get hyped for, like, hey, you know what? Maybe this version of Spirit's actually the one that can be number one and can win the tournaments and can win the major. So when it didn't happen, but it was just the coach part, fair enough. No harm, no foul. Halley's coming back now. But if you saw at Blast Bounty, there was no Sopfick there. At least it wasn't stood behind them. It was Halley again. And a lot of people think, because they didn't win the final, which they were heavily favoured to, when the joke was it was their tournament to lose. A lot of people now are critiquing many elements, including Halley. So obviously, this is a roster that's been together the entire year. There is no new element to it. It's just the coaching change. And crucially for me, it is a team where it seems like even within Spirit, there might be debate about where people play, what role they should play, and how they divide the resources up, because obviously they do have a new IGL. So where are we going to start on this one? It is in theory, we think it's a known quantity, but actually, I imagine there's a lot we can contrast here.
Yeah, I think so. I think, we should start like we normally do, just with the overall performance graph. And the reason I want to start there is because you can't avoid the elephant in the room, which absolutely beggars belief that Donk is just the best player in the world
This
right
is might
now.
be the most absurd top right dog I've ever seen. He's almost leaving the screen, Lars. He's almost not even on the screen. Like,
Yeah.
top right implies he's on the fucking screen. Like, on this one, he's almost the entire superstars bar above. And the second place is like halfway between him and just superstar. That's mental, bro. And this is what's crazy is he's even had some down tournaments this year. What the fuck?
Yeah, and that yellow dot beneath him, the AWPer, that is Zywoo, right? So the gap between
Fucking
like the
hell.
bottom of superstars and Zywoo is the same as Zywoo and
And there's
Donk.
only 3.5 people in superstars. And he's
Yeah,
that
it's
far above them
literally like
all. What the hell?
Monacy, I think Insani with small
Fucking
sample size
hell.
and Zywoo, and he's above them all, yeah.
Fucking hell.
So look, Donk is incredible, and so you've almost got to start any conversation about Spirit from the premise of if you have the best player in the world right now and he's this good, why are you not winning everything?
Yeah,
Because that's sort
literally.
of where you've got to start,
Yes.
right?
By
And
the way, I
in
think
order
that's
to
even
answer.
totally fair. I always give the caveat on talk shows. If I'm Magix, I'm a new IGL, give me a break. If I'm Shiro, hey, I'm not like the best AWPer ever. What am I supposed to do? I'm doing what I can. If I'm fucking Spirit the Org, hey, you know what? Like, we've done some cool business here. We've caught us all. I always say that, but you're right. If you just look at Doc, I'm sorry, the first question always in Spirit has to be, if this guy's playing like this, essentially like no human could ever play, why doesn't he win every single lap? That's a totally fair question from his perspective.
And the thing that's so alien about him as well, right, is that not only is he in the top right, like, all the time and overall, but actually, if you look at any individual event, almost always is in the top right for that too. Like, I've had so many graphs that I've posted on Twitter like this now, where, if we go back to the Cologne Major, for example, for stage one and two, even guys like OnlyPixel picked this up because it was so extreme, right, that you look at all, like, the superstars from those stages, and then you zoom out, and it's like, Donk is just twice as good as the second best player. And so when you've got this level of consistency to this extreme, like, peak as well, you absolutely should be winning everything. And the reasons kind of why they don't aren't just, like, there is no singular reason, right? We have to dig into quite a few of them. But if we just start by looking at his teammates, like, Shiro is a very solid AWPer. I have no complaints about Shiro. Tanir, there have been some really weird issues regarding his roles, regarding his responsibilities, how many resources he gets, right? There are loads of things we can dig into there. But if you look at the bottom left, Magix is obviously the IGL. He's not going to be the biggest fragger on this team. You're not expecting that from him. Zontix is the player that I look at and think, okay, you definitely have the biggest room for improvement if you were to be replaced by, like, an average player in your spots with your resources. So I really want to start with Zontix because I have so many complaints about Zontix in this team. And I know he's been replaced before and it looks kind of shaky. Personally, I think that's because Zwei just wasn't the right kind of replacement. Like, I think if you replace him with someone this inexperienced, you're never going to expect to see them gel together quickly and start winning tournaments. But I don't think going back to Zontix was what I wanted, right? And notice a lot of people, when I post about Spirit Online, they look at the role, like, assignments, and they ask, why is Zontix the second star in this team? Why have you put him as that?
Okay.
Surely it's Tanir, right? Because Zontix is, like, a support player. Like,
oh, he's not worse or whatever. I know he's the AWP, I get that, sure.
So why is it Zontix that's the second star rifler, right? And, well, I just want to point people towards the resources graph, because I think this goes over everyone's heads, right? Shiro, obviously, the AWP top right. Donk is actually, like, the most high-resource rifler that's in crazy. Tier 1.
Okay.
But after him, it's Zontix, right? It's Zontix actually, like, the next highest resource player on Spirit. And look, Magix and Tanir are bottom left. They're, like, worse than most IGLs in terms of what they're getting to work with in these rounds. So you look at Tanir's poor performances, and it's like, well, no wonder, right? Because he's literally getting, like, SMGs almost every round, right? Like, nothing is running through him in terms of who the system wants to prioritize. And I just think it genuinely is unbelievable why they would think to do this with Zontix. I don't know why they have so much confidence in him.
Well, one thing I would say here is this. Even when they re-signed Zontix, my logic was always, if the others, like if the big three all pop off, then he's just there to round out the team, you know. But that's because I can't see any resource element like this. And if you ever look, he can be a good CT player on certain positions. But I always tell people, he's the player that suffers the most, that Counter-Strike's a two-way game, as you'd say in sports, not American football, where if he only played the CT side, you could probably find a cool little specialist role for him. And his problem is obviously on T side, he has massive problems. So then the crazy part here, and obviously we're going to get to this later with Tanir, is to me, in their team, bearing in mind Shiro is the AWP, you're already going to put him in a separate category. After Donk, you're surely putting all the resources into Tanir. Then the eye test tells you his skill level's really high. This implies actually they're putting fuck all into him. And so you ended up in a scenario where Zontix is making no use of the resources. In fact, he's arguing net negative in that regard. Meanwhile, you're just getting... anything you get out of Tanir in that scenario seems like you're getting blood from a stomach. What are you doing? Like, surely you pump all the resources into him, which is actually something, like I say in that Magix interview from the tournament, that actually was sort of implied, like, they think put it this way, they're using some logic that I'll just say is very Eastern European. So if people don't know, one of the most classic CSGO examples ever of bad resource management was when Na'Vi had peak Simple, they would have Simple with a Deagle run out, and Zeus, who was he was like Kerrigan now, ultra shit, no hand, have the AK, and their logic was, this is why I say it's Eastern European, because it's like there is a sort of fucked up logic to it. It went like this: Simple's so good with the Deagle, he'll probably still get a kill, but Zeus is really bad, so he needs the AK. And I always used to tell people that's completely backwards. Since Simple is insane, he should always have the AK because he's incredibly likely to get a kill with it. Whereas actually Zeus, that's essentially, you're just fucking propping up a bad player there. It almost implies they're doing that here, because again, when you give Zontix these resources, if he does that and he gets the stats he does, that means you're almost propping up a player who's shit. Meanwhile, with Tanir, they're using the crazy crazy logic, because I know on CT side he plays like a bunch of ankle rolls and stuff. You're almost using the logic of like, he's insane though, so give him the worst roll and he'll make more of it than he could otherwise. There's a twisted logic to that, but the problem is most people just give the resources to the good players. Like I said, they've got the opposite philosophy to me.
Yeah, and what's so weird about Tanir's role in this spirit, right, is that I don't know whether it's he's just completely lost confidence in himself as a player, or whether it's like he's sort of just willing to be sacrificial.
It sounded like from the interviews, literally, like he maybe even volunteers for this, bro, and thinks of this as like what he should do in the game, which is the most disturbing part.
Yeah, because I look at that quite cynically. Like when I heard that, for context, in this Blast Bounty that they just played, right? Like I looked at positional classification stuff, okay. And I saw that basically Tanir is lost like the last of his rotator roles. That's a change that they made going into this Blast Bounty. So he no longer plays mid on Anubis, for example, on the CT side, and he no longer plays like there was one other role that he had.
I think
like
they've even given them to Magics, which, by the way, same yes. fucked up logic again. This is like someone listened to our episode of G2 Hunter and went, great idea. Give the inexperienced IGL the rotator roles. They'll be able to read the game and get a bunch of kills. It's like, brother, you want the star doing that? The star player tears the game up in CT with the rotator. I know what you mean. It's such a crazy angle, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously what Magics was saying is like, well, if I'm in these positions where I can sort of gather more information, yes. I'll be more impactful, it's like I can call better. And A, that's a bit weird because, spoiler, there is no such thing as a CT IGL. Right? Whoever the rotator is just the one calling. So what you're really saying is that Tanir like wasn't calling the way you would like on the CT side. He wasn't maybe making the right decisions. And I just think, well, I saw him on Heroic do that, though. Yes. I know he has it in him to be capable of doing that. So why can he not do it on this team? Is it because of a structural reason, or is it because he started doing that, wasn't really set up the way that he would want to be, and now has just lost confidence in himself as a player? And I think it's the latter.
Okay.
But just to stick on Zontix for a minute, I want to talk about his role on the T side. Because if we look at, like, so this graph, Lurking and T-Jewel Swing, it's exactly as it sounds, right? On the x-axis, further right you go, the more dedicated a lurker you are, right? The more you're willing to drift away from the pack and sort of exist on your own. And obviously, the higher up, the better your T-Jewel Swing, right? The more jewels you're winning. And so obviously, Donk just breaks this chart again. Best T-side player in the world. Yeah. You look at Shiro, you know, obviously he's sort of with the pack all the time. Magix and Tanir, they take turns doing a bit of lurking. Zontix is the most dedicated lurker in Tier 1. So
this guy's everything people told you Blame F and Sphinx used to be. This is outrageous, yes. Bro. This is the most abusive lurking I've ever seen. Also, by the way, I'll just throw this in there because you might be able to use it later. This is a team where I have a famous quality, right? I actually even said, believe it or not, the new mouse clears this. You know that thing I hate where you get the 2VX and it's like, oh, here we go, it's Huxley and someone else. You're like, oh, give it up, mate, it's already over. Mate, when you watch the rounds and it is Zontix and Magix or Zontix and Shiro, you just lose hope, mate. You're just like, they're never going to get to the site in time. Even if they kill them, they're never going to defuse it. You give up hope. You just know that they're going to giga lurk.
And just again, to stick on Zontix, right, he is so far to the right that there's like a small cluster of players that are anywhere near as far as him. And I've got a continuation graph for this, right? The lurking continued graph. I've just highlighted all the kind of players that also get this level of freedom to be like a dedicated lurker. And if you look at almost all of them, they're actually super high up above Zontix, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got players like Rops, Bit, Heavy God, Nico even now, like Frozen. These are the kind of guys that are so good on the T side that you can let them just be on their own and cook, right? You don't need them to fall back into the pack and to do any supportive work. You're just like, I trust you to find, you know, maybe 3 or 4 round-changing kills on the extremities, and I'm just going to give you the freedom to do that. And when you put Zontix next to these names, it's like, why are we letting him do this? Because I've seen too many rounds now where it's Dust 2, for example, right? And Zontix is like the B tunnels lurk. And if you look at the way he approaches it, he's not even trying to find gunfights. He will literally play like outside the tunnels sometimes, or like behind the pillar. And his entire job is just hold for a push, scared. Like you can see he's like quaking in his boots, praying that somebody doesn't push him down. He will never try and take that fight. He will never think, oh, I've got a timing here. I can try and 1v1 the guy on the side. The only time he ever even thinks to do that is when map controls failed everywhere else and he's like absolutely forced to. So it's just not in his game, right, to be this kind of a proactive lurker. But again, look at the other names here. These are all some of the best lurkers in the world.
Like, especially the ones that are as far to the right as him. Anyone else close to him as far to the right is a really good player in that position. He is criminally bad. Like, Tessa's being close to him, by the way, guys. That's just because, like, in his team, that's all that's left over. Like, all the other ones, he's not even close to his far right either. The other ones are, like, Rops. He's essentially taking, like, Rops-level lurks with none of the fucking upside.
Yes, and he's doing double the sort of lurking of Imma, right? A player that, obviously, I've been heavily
historically criticized, not really sure.
Imma, by the way, positive TJ swing. So he's even doing better than Zontix. And yeah, the other player you mentioned is obviously Tessa's, who he is actually pulling further to the left as more events are played, right? Because Nico is now the lurker. So there's this period where they're like crossing over. And in Tessa's case as well, remember what we spoke about when we did the Falcons episode. Tessa's is a guy that's willing to be a bombsite entry. He's willing to take space. He's willing to be sacrificial. He's not like as hard dedicated a player on these extremities. He'll just do whatever the team needs. Zontix doesn't do that, which makes this even more painful because you literally never see Zontix be like the first into a bombsite. It's just not in his game at all. So yeah, so much to criticize here, but again, you just can't avoid the fact that like normally the reason you're given the freedom to do this kind of lurking is because you're a fantastic player with fantastic aim, with all of these other merits.
Everyone knows where you're going now, surely. Because let's be real. You can, when I say itis, I don't just mean him. I obviously mean how you play the game. But I have to say, for a player with resources in a top team, Zontix might have some of the worst aim. I mean, as famously pointed out by Vu, he quite literally shoots people in the body.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly where I'm going with this. Right. You know, I've telegraphed it well.
Right.
Rifling and aim. All right, so this is rifle dual swing on the y-axis and rifle head accuracy on the x-axis. This isn't just headshot percentage. It's not just headshots that are kills. This is actually, like, of the bullets you fire that hit an enemy, how many go to the head, right? Zontix is the second worst player for this. There's only an IGL behind him. I can't remember which one it is. It's probably Carrigan or something, right?
Yeah.
So not only can he absolutely not hit the head, he's not one of these, like, sharp aimers. And again, think about the anchor lurker sort of meta right now. You want to put a player there who's super sharp, has really headshotty aim, and can just like overwin gunfights, basically. Like Bit, like Mazzino, right? These are all guys that are cracked aimers, and so you can just put them in areas where they're isolated, that they can just win their 1v1s. Zontix is bottom left, so negative rifle dual swing overall. Can't hit the head to save his life. Like, I have nothing positive to say about Zontix at this point. And I genuinely don't understand why Spirit are willing to stick with him for this long.
I mean, there's two things here. One, yes, based on this, as of right now, there's no reason to have him in the team. Like, you just, every stat is just so negative. You remember, there's no Carrigan. Maybe he said a call that was, there's nothing like that that adds. And also, this fucker looks like he never talks. And then the other thing that's criminal, same exact graph. Look what today is with none of the resources. Like, that's with none of the resources. Imagine he actually had some. Surely he'd be insane. His eye test is really good.
Yeah, Denis is a good player. Like, again, we saw this on Heroic. Go back and watch his demos, right? He can aim. He can make mid-round chaos plays. But what's actually happened to Denis when you watch his games now? Well, again, let's go back to Dust 2, right? If you watch what Denis does, he's normally like the semi-lurk player. He's normally like long, for example, like waiting outside the long doors. And he knows that at a certain point in the round, if whatever the plan for Donk was hasn't worked, if Donk hasn't won the map control he needed, or God forbid Donk's died, he now has to make a desperate play out the long doors because you're never going to see Shiro, Magix, or Zontix it, right? So he's next in line to have to make a play and have to make something happen. And he still manages to go positive in terms of rifle dual swing. He's still winning some of these fights, which, you know, you'll sort of follow along with my logic here as we go through all these charts. But it is crazy to me that they didn't double down on promoting Tanir to be the second star instead of Zontix. I have no idea why they're doing it, but it feels like at this point, Donk must just really like Zontix or something. There must be some sort of personal connection element that's the reason he's here, because it's like with Electronic on this BC game, right? There's no real justification for him being there other than vibes or something at this point. So just to continue with this as well, this is probably the last graph that is relevant for this, right? I just want to look at the space taking and entrying, because we mentioned before, right, that on these extremity positions, like Tessa's, for example, you can kind of make up for the fact that he's not the most adept lurker, that he's not the most impactful rifler, by looking at the sacrificial work that he does for his team, right? The amount of entrying he does, the amount of going in first that his teammates can trade. And if we look at the space taking and entering graph, look, Donk is going in first the majority of the time. Because Donk isn't even one of these players like a Liege that wants to be second in. Donk just wants every gunfight. He just wants to run in and be the tip of the spear, no matter where they're going, no matter what map control they're taking. He just wants to kill people. And that's a fantastic quality, right? But whenever that fails, obviously, like I said earlier, a second player has got to step up. And if you look at who that is, it's Tenir. It's always Tenir. Tenir is the guy that, if Donk isn't around and they have to go into a bombsite, he's the one going in first. If they have to take control of like the middle of the map, Tenir's the one going in first. He is sort of the second tip of the spear, the twin fang, as it should be. Going back to the resource he's getting, though, he's not set up like this at all. So you've got this really weird mix match where it's like what's expected of him and what he should be doing differs massively to how they're actually setting him up and what they're doing for him to facilitate it, which I think is why Spirits look so discombobulated, like not connected. The game plan looks completely missing. If Donk isn't able to do what he wants to do in the round.
Okay. By the way, the obvious angle here, and off of this, I do know which graphs you have. It's just I don't know what order you're going to do it in. But if we're transitioning to a Tenir, because let's be real, the problem here is we're not actually for right this moment suggesting here's the people he kicks on ticks for. Because the real issue is we've already seen Tenir look really good in this team. It just so happened to be at tournaments where this is the craziest part. Either Sotfik was stood behind them or nobody was stood behind them. By the way, Halley, that one is crazy, bro. The idea that nobody being there allows Tenir to be better because at stage two of the major, he was mega, is crazy. Because obviously the angle here is we have a contrast. You almost never get this in a team. Normally we'd have to look back at Heroic and then we'd have to go, well, that was ages ago. It was a different team and a different meta. No, we've actually in recent history seen Tenir be really effective. Obviously when they had Sotfik. So what's the contrast on that? Because first things first, before we get rid of Zontix, the obvious angle would be transfer whatever roles and maybe Magic's rotated roles, transfer whatever resources to Tenir, and then we can fix the other part.
Yeah, absolutely. So this graph, dual swing and flashes, this is one that I did quite a while ago, actually, immediately after PGL Astana concluded, because if you remember going back to Rio and Astana, Tenir had this massive uptick of form where he looked like a completely rejuvenated player, right? He looked like, especially in the late round, he was able to just become like such a dominant closer player. He was able to be this rifler that was a bit like Wicadia, for example, on Aurora, right? He was sort of filling into that kind of mold, where obviously Donk is the most proactive player in the early round, but you sort of get to be the next player that gets to make plays and gets to be a bit of a chaos engine in the late round. And most of that was facilitated by a change in philosophy in the team. Because you can see clearly when you look at like Spirit's flashbang usage, Magix is like the second highest flashbang throwing player. I don't have a graph for this, just stick on this one for now. Okay. But basically he's the one throwing all the flashes along with Shiro because your AWP always does that. And the player that's getting flashed for, that's getting kills onto blind enemies, is always Donk normally. But actually what happened with Sotfik instead of Halley is you saw Tenir became this second player that's also getting flashed for a lot more. And you can just see here what it did to his dual swing, right? It went up considerably because he was really struggling before Rio and before Astana with Sotfik behind him. He's a positive player again. And it's because flashbangs, especially on the T side, sort of exist as this kind of lubricant, right? If there's like some sort of fight that you're forced to take, flashes are the difference between you sort of awkwardly stumbling around a corner and getting shot by the guy and then hoping your teammate trades, and you actually winning the fight on the guy holding you. And you saw, if you go back and watch these demos, Tenir was winning these fights that previously he was really struggling with. And he was actually, because of this, able to keep himself alive into these late round situations, which is why actually at these events, Tenir was like more of a closer. Like I said, he wasn't just someone that awkwardly had to die in the middle of the round so that the other players could hopefully clutch, right? And normally Shiro and Zontix. In this case, he was actually able to do things towards the mid late round because of this change in utility, because more emphasis was put on him.
Yeah, also, along those lines, I will tell people, this is why I find it so bizarre if Halley was the one who made the call for Tenir to join, because when I watched him in Heroic, that's exactly why, to me, it was a dream. It's why I always tell people, I would have made the choice they made. I wouldn't have brought Kiyosuke in. I don't know how that exact combo would have worked with Donk, because it actually looked like he got all the resources in the academy team. I remember thinking, this is genius GMing. You sell Kiyosuke for a few million, you get Tenir for cheap, and Tenir already in Heroic is a late-round impact player on the T side, which when you've got Donk as the early player. That's what you lack in Spirit. Like I say, you get bored of watching Shiro turn down 1v6s and Zontik's shift walk his way towards the bomb site. Like it, when you actually have Tenet in those clutch scenarios, then you think he can win the round. He's got really strong aim.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Spirit has so many sort of structural issues that while Sotfik was in the team, we actually saw positive changes. Like, they're albeit short-lived and temporary, but we saw that they were trading more. We saw that they were flashing for each other more, especially for Tenir. We saw that they were, you know, killing blind players. And Spirit, if you look at them as a team, are especially lurky, right? I don't have a graph for this because we already have like 20 graphs. Sure. So I don't want to overload on it, but if you look at that like style graph I normally do, Spirit are like the most lurky graph next to Power Vision. So they like to split up, right? They like to take their one-on-ones. They like to go elsewhere on the map. And as a result of that, let's just go to this trading graph. Spirit don't create trade opportunities, and they have very, very low tradable deaths per round. They're often just taking these one-on-ones.
Bro,
right?
If you have Donk, probably the greatest T-side player to ever touch Counter-Strike, how are you not like the best trading team? There's another question. You should be the best trading team. You have the ultimate person to either kill as the trade or be traded. And because you're right, the second you said earlier when they moved Tenir again, I'm just thinking how many rounds Donk just dies early because he goes for all these fights and then the round just slows to a fucking halt. And it's like they become Paravision.
Yeah, and it must just be like a nightmare matchmaking game if you are like maybe Tenir, for example, because you just know that you have to be the one to make the play because yeah. Zontix isn't going to do it.
Oh, no.
Magix isn't going to do it. He wants the three utility. Shiro is definitely not going to do it. Oh. He is not moving until like he absolutely has to, and even then he might try and save. So it's just like there's such a lack of coordination in the pack. Sometimes there just isn't a pack because they are just sort of so separate in terms of the ideas they have. And like you said,
by the way, they're also so far at the bottom left as well. Like, look how far they are even for that. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and guess those other teams aren't even good teams. They're so far away from them. Like, this just shows it has to be fucking Dongbei because that team should be like 20th in the world or something. There's no way that team should be in semis of tournaments.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, the teams right next to them are like NIP and M18.
Fucking hell, that's
teams that just, like, again, no hate on those teams, but they are just like a level below, right?
Boss.
Because they have inexperienced players, the structure isn't really there, they don't all have this like expert coach IGL duo. Spirit, also, I'm told, has all of these things. Like, I'm told that Halley should be a top three coach,
he should
be like a coach of the year contender. I'm not seeing any of it reflected in the system, though. And this is the thing with Spirit. Like, how many things do we have to look at from the outside and see, okay, your trading looks weird, your utility looks weird, your spacing looks weird. At what point do you then look at how Sotfik was kind of improving those things and say, what do you do, Halley?
Yes.
Like, specifically, what do you do that is meant to make me think you are some kind of expert about the game? Because I see these things in Blade Systems. I see these things in Mara with the Mongols. I see him bringing up all these young players and making them look excellent. All I see in Spirit is young players get brought in, have their confidence destroyed, fail miserably to make it, and then just get booted, right? So what are we doing at this point, right?
By the way, I'll give you a quick angle on that as well. That's obvious, which is this could even be that Halley's really smart, but he hasn't fitted to his personnel. That's the worst thing. It looks to me like Sotfik came in. Remember, he's only there temporarily. In theory, if Halley comes right back, it almost looks like he came in and was just like, right, how can I help around here? Right, today, here's maybe what we're going to do with you, mate. Oh, guys, you're not throwing the flashes. Like, this is just some stuff he did for his team. It almost sounds like Halley reminds me of those coaches where it's like they have their way of playing and you, no matter who you are as a player, when they join, you're going to fit their way of playing. Not they're going to look right. Who have I got here? Have I got some wingers? They don't fit it to you. You have to basically fit into their system, and they'll just force that system no matter what. Even if it's, for example, some like defensive football system, and they have all fabulous freewheeling maverick play, but they just don't let those players loose. You know, there's some sort of a vibe about that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the most painful part of all of this for me is that I looked at these similar graphs for Blast Bounty, and they've regressed across the board.
Oh, right.
So since Halley has come back in, like, we saw that Tenir moved to the right, you know, got better with dual swing, more flashes for him. He's straight back to where he was on average before Rio and Astana. Same with the trading, they're back to bottom left. So it's not exactly very optimistic. I can't be optimistic about this team, partly because I'm not seeing any change in system, and partly as well, I'll jump ahead one graph to this floor and ceiling chart. Because what this chart sort of shows, right, along the x-axis, it's like their floor, their C game, as I'm calling it, and on the y-axis, it's their A game. So In other words, you look at all of the players and imagine all of them having a good day. How well do they do? Imagine all of them having a bad day. How good are they? And obviously, Vitality top right. This is what makes Vitality fantastic, right? That even on their worst day, they're ahead of every other team, basically. Yeah. And look at where Spirit are, right? Spirit, because Donk is like the core of their firepower and essentially their only course of firepower, it means they have quite a high floor because he's such a consistent animal. But teams like G2 and Furia are above them in terms of peak. Because it's really hard.
G2 never makes any finals. That's gross, bro.
Exactly. But it makes sense when you think about it. Because, okay, imagine Nerts, like Sun Pius, obviously before Wrinkle, like Hunter. Imagine all of these players are all firing together. Yeah, they would be a crack skilled team, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But then think about Spirit, and it's like, okay, Donk performing at his A game, like you're not going to get another 10% on top of that. It's impossible. And like Tanir, Zontix, Magix, imagine all of those guys are playing their best game. What does their best game look like? Like a one rating or something? Like it's not fantastic, right? Obviously, aside from, you know, you go back to like the Shanghai Major when
but it's I can just tell you, as someone who does betting, even when I bet on Spirit as a favorite, I always take them to like lose a map in the series and win 2-1. I always say it's fucking hard work for them to win a series, bro, even if they're the better team.
And it's just because, like, there's just no room for growth in some of these players. Right? I don't think you're ever going to see Zontix get better fragging. I think Tanir's just unfortunately slowly been decaying because of all these things we've addressed recently. So the main thing I wanted to mention with this graph is just, look, their floor is incredible. There's when you have Donk on your team, you will never not be a contender.
Yes.
But it's the A game that wins trophies, right? It's when everything is working together at the same time, that's when you win trophies. And obviously we saw that at some smaller events. We saw them win, like, what was it, Astana over Falcons in that grand final. Aside from that, we haven't seen them win trophies. We've now even seen them lose to Mouse, right? We've seen what happens on the worst day. And it's not pretty, right? Even if they can't even win these tier 2 trophies anymore, when you've got a player this good, what does it say about Spirit as a team? Yeah, so, I think, let's go back to the graph I skipped as well, actually, because this just is like the cherry on top for this, I reckon. This is a new graph, just something I wanted to try, right? And I've called it hard carried, because the idea is you look at the dual swing for like the core, the median player on the team, and then you compare that to their best player, right? And look at where Vitality...
By the way, the obvious punchline here, guys, is even though it says Spirit, it's another Donk top right corner graph.
Yes. But it's like the beauty of this graph is them being top right literally means both like Donk top right and Zontix bottom left at the same time.
Right, okay, right. I see.
Because this is like the average player on Spirit is so bad that Donk looks that much better. That's again. Mental. And for anyone, by the way, that says like Zywu gets no help or whatever, look at the difference between Spirit and Vitality on this. Like Spirit is such a one-man carry, it's ridiculous. And I haven't done this yet, but I'd be really excited to compare this to 2018 Na'Vi and see like which one actually is carried harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're definitely in that conversation, right? Like it's ridiculous.
And if you think about how it's framed by other people, Falcons is a failed super team with Rollins. They're almost the same as Vitality. And neither of them are close to the top right, by the way. Even though, yes, they have Zebu and Monacy. They're not even close to making the giga carry you have to carry every single game. That's just not real. That's not a thing.
Yeah, because it's not one player, right? We look at Falcons, and it's like, Monacy can win a map. Like, Kiyosuke was winning maps, right? We saw this in their Cologne run. Like, any one of those players can completely pop off and potentially be an MVP contender. Kind of same with Furia. They're a little bit worse, but, you know, this is where teams that win kind of want to be, right? They want to be towards the middle of this graph.
Yes,
it's great to have good players, but you don't want it to be concentrated entirely into one player and everyone else be a liability. And that is something that Spirit desperately have to fix. Yeah, so, okay, let's go to Shiro now, actually, because Shiro is a player that I actually really appreciate the way he plays the game.
Definitely.
And I think that Shiro is one of those players that's massively overhated. If I had to pick, like, the most overhated player in CS right now, it's probably Shiro. The reason why is because if you actually look at how good he is with an AWP, he's the fourth best AWPer, right? The only players above him on this AWPing graph that I've got here, AWP dual swing and AWP duels per round, it's literally just like Monacy, Zywu, and there's Molodoy. Molodoy is the other one, right? But he's right behind those, right? So he's absolutely an elite AWPer, can absolutely do what he needs to do with this. And not only that, but he can also do other things. Like, he's not weak on the rifles.
No.
He's not weak on a pistol. He's actually got like really good pistol dual swing as well. He's a very good all-around player. And the best thing about him is that he's actually really good in clutches as well. So if we look at this clutches and saving graph, average time of death on the x-axis and clutch dual swing on the y-axis. So this is when you're in a clutch, how good are you at winning gunfights?
Yes.
And look, Shiro is super high up. Like, yes, he's a massive beta.
Yeah.
So his death time is like really, really late, right? The joke here being there's one player to the right of him. No prizes for guessing who that is.
He's another AWP, a spoiler.
It's exactly who you think it is, right? But actually, he's super high on this clutch dual swing. And it makes sense, right? Whenever you see him in a saving situation, a clutch situation, like he's always really good at getting the kills he needs to either carry his gun to the next round or when he's forced to, even to win some clutches. So yeah, I think this is really impressive. I think Shiro has a very narrow, but very all-rounded within that scope role, if that makes sense.
I've got an angle for this as well. It's why, by the way, this is one of those times where you'd have to go back to like buy the numbers from literally like 2021. But I would have actually said this on that episode. When they had the famous Katowice final online, that was between Gambit and Virtus Pro, so it was Jayne versus Shiro. I even said, because like Shiro was a new player, like he actually reminds me of Jayne. Like what's funny is I've always said, I almost want to like, you know how in like public service, you can do stuff like turn the gravity off and people like fly around if you're the admin. I almost want to like create a wall behind these two players when there's like a clutch scenario so they can't save the gun and run away. Because if you ever force both of them into a clutch with their orbs, they're really smart. Like they're actually really canny players at winning the 1v2 and isolating the guy. The problem is you just can't get these fuckers into the pen, as it were, to do the clutch. Because I'm with you. Look, the good thing about Shiro is this. What saves his arses, he is, as you say, phenomenal at saving the orb. Like he will save the orb, get an exit, never get killed by it. I do hate how many players do that like two-man save on Inferno, for example, and then one or two of them die during the save, completely invalidating the entire like game theory of doing the save instead of going for the clutch. Because as soon as you do a save, I hope people understand this, you now have a 0% chance of winning the clutch, but you then fuck up the save and don't save the gun. That's an inarguably, objectively net negative player, right? So the problem is Shiro is really good in that regard. The other thing to obviously say here is this, in light of the conversation about Tanir, the one problem you have with Shiro, aside from the fact he does choke a little bit in big finals and all this and that jazz, is this, Loz. He might be the most defined fucking player that isn't Jayne in professional Counter-Strike. What if he could get 5% more of Shiro? There isn't a 5% more. He is playing exactly the way he sees the game wants. I think he's actually doing everything he wants. Like, here's the difference between me and him. When he does these saves when I think he should go for the clutch, I think genuinely if I sat him down, he would actually very logically explain to me that, like, basically, like, I'm not simple 2018. I wouldn't win a 1vx clutch here. I think I'm better off saving it. Also, like, you know, then he'd probably do some plus EV poker math of, like, and if I take the op to the next round, because Jayne also loves to do that, then it adds, like, an added threat on a certain CT spot. When the enemy comes in, they have to worry about the op. They'd have all these reasons. He'd be the economist guy pinching the fucking pennies and doing all the like plus minus mid max. The problem here is you have to, when the team that has Donk, look for where do we get the extra 5%, 10% of like aggressive play and kills that are going to win us these games that Donk needs to win. And so this is, I'm with you. He's mega in this regard. You can't complain about this aspect.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely brilliant at playing that. There's like a game theory element that goes on whenever a team is trying to save, because like whoever the team, like normally the T side, right, that is going to go on the hunt, whatever, they know in their head, like, okay, we can afford to lose one or two rifles max, right? And so because the CTs know that, they're like, okay, we need to kill at least one and then they'll call the hunt off. Yep. Because if we just like back all the way up, they can just run us down and back us into a corner. So yeah, Shiro is excellent at like knowing exactly when to take the fight he needs to take and then back off afterwards, which... Look, another thing I wanted to mention about this graph, obviously look at the three other players. Donk's obviously good in a clutch, but he doesn't tend to be in them very much because he's the early round guy. He's the opener. Zomtix, Magix, and Tinit, they're all bad in clutches. So who do you have other than Shiro that can even like try these, right? Like not really anyone. And this is exactly where you'd want to lean on a player like Zomtix. That's the type of player that's normally so good in these clutches. He's got exactly the kind of archetype that should be good in them.
I mean, think of the other people you mentioned. Bit. Bit's fucking fire in a clutch. Rops, are you out of your mind? He's probably the best clutch player in the fucking game. It's outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah, they're so good at this. And look, we'll go into some potential replacements in a second. But along those lines, it's like, let's just look at the aggregate now for Spirit and like Zantik's role within it. Like, okay, so you're putting these resources into him that are higher than Tanir, higher than Magix, right? you're giving him these like dedicated lurk roles. He kind of gets to do whatever he wants. He's essentially not having to throw any utility. He's not having to do any entrying. He's like, why? I don't know. It's going to sound like hating at this point, but it's sometimes the truth just is hating.
Well, I'll give you the extra one. The last piece of corp would have been, remember, Kerrigan could just see it. Look at all the amazing rounds I do late round, mid round. That has to be me, right? Even Magics, by the way, can say, look at the effect I have on Donk. I am the ultimate vibes guy. Lol, 6-7, some funny shit. Sontix is also the guy who looks like he has no personality. He doesn't talk. He just sits there like, and shoots someone in the body and runs away like... Again, like, you've almost mathematically proven he's bad at CS, bro. It's actually crazy. Like, I don't know how anyone would even defend this. Like, what argument would you have? I know.
I don't know. I almost challenge anyone.
Yeah, I know. Like, exactly.
Aside from saying, like, vibes and he's Donk's friend, like, please, if anyone can give me, like, a valid argument for keeping Zontix in the comments, I'll be thoroughly impressed.
Yes.
But yeah, with that being said, I've just got a couple of players, obviously two of them are Zontix replacements, that I just wanted to touch on. The first one is Heavy God, obviously. And that may sound a bit weird to some people, because obviously Heavy God, Israeli flag, he's not Russian. But he can actually speak Russian. And he has been on like that Cloud9 team before, for example, that was all Russian. So he can function perfectly inside this kind of team, right? And if you actually look at like the majority of the roles, they kind of line up.
Ooh, okay.
If you look at essentially like what their job is in each of these, look, Heavy God uses fewer resources than Zontix, has basically the majority of the same anchor spots, with the exception of, by the way, Zontix plays like short on Mirage for some reason. He has like the odd...
That's normally a fragger position. Well. Yeah, that's crazy. That's another
the highest fragging spot.
It's
on
one thing if you say Zontix is on some I'm net you or fucking Impact. Like, I play all the bad roles. He's not even doing that. Look, he has three really good roles on CT's side.
It's a bit curious, isn't it? And so Heavy God can give you more utility, uses fewer resources, lurks about the same extent, is willing to do a bit more site entrying. Like, everything is an upgrade. Yes. It's a strict upgrade. And this is why I said it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but if they actually replace Zontix with Heavy God, I do reckon they could win, like, three majors in a row or something. With a player as good as Donk is, as long as they can sort of figure out, like, the remaining player, something has to happen with Tanir, right? They could win everything. Like, it's unreal how good Donk is. And Heavy God, for the kind of player that he is, for the kind of spots he wants, and for how good an upgrade he can be over Zontix. Imagine if you give Heavy God even more resources, as well as being like the secondary voice on the T side. We know from interviews and stuff that Heavy God likes to be really vocal. He has lots of ideas. It would just be such a fabulous upgrade. I can't overstate it. And yeah, I have another idea as well, which I'm actually not too sure if this one would work, right? Because another player I wanted to look at, maybe more theoretically, is Juggs, obviously the foot player. And Juggs is Lithuanian. Some Lithuanians, especially older Lithuanians, can actually speak Russian fluently. Some of the younger ones can't. So I have no idea what it's like for Juggs. I don't know if he can.
Okay.
If he can, this is another fabulous upgrade. Like, my thing calls this excellent. This roster mechanic, you can find this on our website. All essentially is the same as Heavy God's. Like, he has the same kind of spots, lower resources, willing to do a lot more entry work. Like, again, just a fabulous upgrade, right? So these are two examples of players that are a little bit expensive. Like, they're going to cost a bit of money, right? They're not exceptionally cheap. But when you're in the position Spirit are in, where you've sold Kiyosuke, you know, you've got the money from that. You haven't exactly spent big money on a player before in the past. Like, I can't imagine Zwei would have been that expensive. This is the time right now where you are kind of floundering, where you need to make a big move. You need a big change, because they've tried everything else. They've tried putting Tanir in the rotator spots, putting some more resources into him. Apparently it didn't work, or at least they seem to not think it worked internally. They've tried, obviously, now putting Magics in all the rotator spots, and like using Tanir as just like a dedicated anchor, and it's essentially stripping him of all agency, right? That didn't work. They've tried even now switching like some of Donk's positions. Like, Donk was anchoring on Ancient for whatever reason in that final against Mouse and this last Blast Bounty. Like, I think they are definitely looking at the end of the road and thinking, like, what do we do from here? Like, there are no ideas, right?
So but anyway, that's even a classic one, if people don't know, that, like, fans just look at the numbers month to month to month. But I actually said this in Fears. I called the Fears downfall way before even that last major, because when I do things, like, one of my specialties is the veto, for example. They tried every single possible veto. Like, they tried all the punishes. They tried swapping the pick. They even tried, like, swapping the second veto. They tried everything they could. They swapped all the spots. They definitely gave Jacob the star spots at times. They took them away from Jacob. They set Brokey up. They didn't set him up. They tried... I know what you mean. Once you've tried everything like that, all that is left at the end is a roster move. That's all that, that's the last door remaining is roster move. Someone has to be kicked.
Yeah, eventually you have to look at your team and think, look, it's just a firepower problem at this point.
Yes.
Like, if I were Spirit right now, I would make two moves. I would make one of these moves, one of these replacements for Zontix, and I would just instate Sotvik as the primary coach.
Right.
I would just say, look, Halley, I've seen what you can do with Tanir. I've seen how you can sort of rejuvenate this team. Maybe you can be the secondary coach still and like Sotvik takes over as the primary coach or something. But those are the two moves that I've made.
It's also crazy because, like I said earlier, I'll say it one more time. Never, ever in any other circumstance could we actually literally know what having that coach could be like. Normally, we'd have to purely hypothesize. And on a show like this, it'd be really hard without any of the same players to ever be able to get a clue of how someone would do. But we've actually seen him coach this team. So we already have at least a sense. Maybe it wouldn't be totally like, maybe there'd be a, you know, honeymoon period. But then surely we have like a, we can do some A-B testing, which I'll just throw out there as well. I do actually feel for Halley in that sense, because if it literally was like a life-threatening illness that like took him out of the game and brought this other coach in, that's just really unlucky for you. Like there's a famous story, by the way, where I believe it was actually like that Lou Gehrig guy in baseball, who I think had like the record for most games played, something insane like that. The guy who did that, there's some famous story where he just got brought on to like replace another good player and then like never gave that spot up ever and had like the record for appearances after that. And it's like, if you're the guy he replaced, that's just unlucky. Obviously, it's not likely the guy replacing you in one game will then just play forever. Like, yeah, normally that's it. But if you're Halley, yeah, you're just unlucky. You got unlucky twice, basically, mate, because actually, this is the one time now where we could just say, I'd at least try the other guy a minute.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the reason I mentioned it is because, look, I personally believe that if you did have Sotvik behind them again, you could sort of get more out of Tanir. So I don't think he necessarily needs to be replaced. But if you were going to replace him, which I actually think is probably more likely based on the changes that Spirit have made in the past, like, I reckon they would probably do something weird, like shift Tanir into Zontix's roles and then replace Tanir. Like, yeah. This is the kind of weird, awkward side shuffle they seem to do, right? But if you are going to replace Tanir, a player that I've mentioned before on this is Fame, right? And I know that Fame, supposedly his contract has actually ended now with VP. I don't know if he's been signed officially by someone else yet. But
it's implied he's either going to go to the TDK team, isn't it? Am I thinking the right one? I think it's the Nefali's project people think he's going to.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know if that's... I haven't really heard about it, but yeah. That's
yeah, as far as I know, he's on that team now. He's on one win, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So maybe they have his contract. I don't know, but... Even if this is just theoretical, right? This is the kind of player that you would want to replace Tanir.
Okay.
Because he's someone that's basically just like a bit stricter an upgrade in terms of the positions that he plays on the CT side. Like, seems a little bit sharper. My worry with this kind of a move, though, even though I like Fame, even though pick any player that sort of is in this role, I would worry that they would just go and have the exact same trajectory
and give
that
him
Tanir
no fucking
has had.
Resources again and all that shit, yeah.
Exactly, because if you're like this trade fragger on the T side and you sort of have to be like an anchor on the CT side, this is, it's kind of like the Ryu spot on Astralis, right? Like, if you have low confidence, you're not going to build your confidence going into this. It's only downhill for you unless you really hit the ground running. So yeah, this is the kind of move I would make, but it's like, I would just not make this move if I could, right? I would I'd still definitely look at it.
I mean, as you say, here's the problem. If we're just doing triage, first thing you do is you just kick Zontix. Like, it can't work anymore. Second thing you do the coach thing, because actually it's implied, it's a bit like my joke of, if you have concerns about Elige, the first thing you do is sign JT, and if he can't make him fit, then you can kick Elige with no fucking, you can have your conscience clear, but you do that one to see if it's possible to save Elige, don't you? So in this scenario, you put Sotvik back to see if it saves today. If it doesn't save Tanir, by the way, you can say, okay, Sotvik, that was just two events, mate. Off you go. We've got bigger problems than that. Tanir has to go as well. That's totally fair. And if you're Tanir, you have to put up the numbers. So I think you're right. The third thing, though, is after that, after you do Zontix out, coach Sotvik back in. The third one, if it still doesn't work, is Tanir has to go. That's just a reasonable. Because again, remember, We're going to be fair, not like today. We're doing this from the donk perspective. If I'm donk, why aren't I winning every event? Because I'll also just say as a final thing, I can tell you there are very few players, Simple was one of them, who actually can handle losing all the events while being like 1.5 times better and continue on. I think I've told people this story before. One of the main reasons Kenny S stopped practicing Counter-Strike is he was doing that 2015 shit where he was like unbelievably good and they would come like second or third in the event no matter how well he played. That saps your fucking confidence and your will to practice eventually. Because eventually you just think, what's the point? What's the point in being like 1.5 times better than everyone and then not winning the tournament? Like, why don't I just fucking put in the minimum and just get like this, a similar result?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree. And obviously one thing people were mentioning, because obviously Kiyosuke, right, used to be on the Spirit Academy roster, and there was a lot of speculation of like, why not just promote him to the main team, right? Because the logic being at the time that Kiyosuke and Donk used to actually pug together all the time. A lot of people actually, even on the HLTV forums, don't know him as like Kiyosuke. They know him as like Simon Bacon or whatever his name was from Pugs, right? Because
if you ever look up the old like the ones where it's like all the face it clips of Donk, he's always on the same team with him, flagging out. I know what you mean. Yes.
Yeah, and the way they sort of managed to make that work is like Donk just had all the star rotate spots, and Kiyosuke just had all the secondary ones, right? And because they just had loads of reps together and they were both cracked, they would just blow everyone out the server. It didn't really matter. And we can speculate about how that would compute to Team CS, but obviously what I have here is just something to demonstrate. I would never make this move, but I just wanted to show you that the overlap between Donk and Kiyosuke is like literally 1-to-1. Like, Kiyosuke is essentially just a slightly worse Donk.
Yes.
In terms of everything, all the positions he wants to play, like, literally everything here is exactly the same, right? The aggression bars are, like, exactly alike.
By the way, I like, obviously, remember, Loz doesn't program this element. He sets the system and presses the button and lets it go, right? Obviously, this isn't saying Kiyosuke is bad, but the system itself knows that Donk's so cracked that on the move rating, it has 0 and just says why. Because, remember, even some bad moves will be, like, 30, you know, and it'll be, like, not really. But this one's just literally, like, why would you do it? Like, what's the point? I love it. Okay.
Yeah, because obviously it doesn't get that you're not like just getting rid of Donk. You would be transitioning him or whatever. But...
Yes.
But yeah, like I actually do think you probably could make it work. But think about everything we've just said about Tanir, right? For whatever reason, Halley's system doesn't seem capable of facilitating a second star. That's a claim that I'm actually quite confident in making at this point. So even if you were to bring Kiyosuke up to this level, especially because, you know, when did we see him get good on Falcons? We saw him get good on Falcons when Kerrigan came in. That's when he sort of got over his playoff choking issues. That's when he sort of rounded out the rest of his game, you know, polished off some of the edges. I don't think that ever would have happened. I think it would have been the exact opposite, right? Because I've just got too much evidence of this at this point, that these young, inexperienced players get brought into the main team. Because everything goes through Donk and Shiro, you just have to fight for the scraps. Whatever's left over, that's what you've got to try and deal with. And even some of the most skilled players in the world would not flourish under those kind of circumstances.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, first of all, obviously in this team, you'll just never will get the full resources because they should go to Donk anyway. So you're not going to get that. And then secondly, what I always tell people, the real genius of the Kerrigan move in terms of Kiyosuke, as far as I can tell, is Kerrigan used almost infinite levels of experience for aggressive T-side to just be the brain of Kiyosuke so that Kiyosuke himself doesn't have to make the intuitive read of now you should go and take the fight. And I always tell people that's the biggest difference between Kiyosuke and Donk. Both of them have unbelievable skill. I actually think you can argue if you want to look at pure like artistic aim, maybe Kiyosuke has slightly a better aim. It sometimes looks less mechanical than Donk. It just looks more like, you know, insane human aim. But I always tell people what Donk has that's actually impossible isn't even the mechanics. It's that I've never seen a player seemingly come out of the womb with like the insane feel of like a veteran player of when you take the fight. That's the part that makes those sense. Kiyosuke shows that you can't just brute force it. You can't just run in and aim and shoot people in the head. You have to have like already a feel for where they could be and what you're going to do next. And there's only one Donk in that sense. Like Kiyosuke has the skill of a Donk, in my opinion, but he does not have that aspect. And in theory, at the moment, we're just applying the craziest Kerrigan band-aid ever because Kerrigan's like 800 years old and has seen everything because he's done some ent shit like me in esports.
Yeah, the thing that makes Donk so transcendent is that, like, Kiyosuke doesn't have this. Kiyosuke is an incredible aimer, maybe even has, like, better raw aim than Donk. I know people like Maui Snake have said that before in the past. But the one thing that Donk has in spades over any other player is just his movement. like his ability to counter strafe and to keep moving and like ADAD in between fights and do all these like, you know, donk slide things, whatever. I have a graph on my Twitter. I don't have it here, but essentially I looked at like counter strafing accuracy and the average peak speed. So in other words, like how often are you moving in between shooting and still having accurate bullets, right? And the trend is, it's like an exact downward negative correlation. And there's one player that's like top right, and it's Donk. Because generally what happens is the more you're having to like run into angles and take fights and move between shooting, generally the worse your counter-strafing is, because it's impossible to hit every counter-strafe perfectly all the time, unless your name is Donk. Yep. Normally, you know, you have to just run in first, and sometimes, especially if you're like firsting into a bomb site, you have to just jump around a corner, because if you stop and try and counter strafe perfectly, you'll just block your teammates behind you, right? And like block a chokehold. With Donk, it's like that just doesn't apply to him. The rules that apply to everyone else don't apply to him. He's so alien in that regard that I actually do believe Donk is the best player to ever touch any version of Counter Strike. I think when we look back at him in 20 years' time, we will say, what an alien, like a great among greats. And it would be such a shame if the Spirit didn't win everything as a result of that.
No, two things on that. One, there's actually a video, you can look it up online. It's one of those examples of like simple good. Then you do this and you win. And it's like, that doesn't help me, mate. I'm fucking human. I can't. So if you don't know, there's a video of Donk teaching you how to counter strafe, right? Good luck. Watch it as many times as you want. Go on a server and try and do it. You won't be able to do it like him. And even worse, like Loz says, normal humans, even like fucking Xantaras, do it on like the big peak on short on barrage. They don't do it all the time. Donk does it on every single movement and shot. As far as I can tell, he is never just like slowing down and stopping. He just always can't. And he's just made it like that's a permanent part of his game. Well, I would give the analogy there to like, you can get some really good football players who can do a nice dribble. This would be like Messi dribbling, where it's like, mate, the ball never leaves his foot. He just goes round everyone, like no one can dribble like that. It's impossible. And then also, I do also think the other detail on this one is where are you going? Oh yeah, about the angle of like the in the future. This is where you've got to understand why outliers exist. Outliers mean the pattern is correct. There is a correlation. You can draw a line, but the outlier, the reason you remove him is that doesn't even fit the pattern in general. And they're outlier for a reason. You know what people say, that thing they always love to say? They go, and this guy's insane. Imagine in the future, there'll be kids that are making this guy look shit. Like, that's actually not true in the case of Donk. I would even argue it's still not the case in terms of Simple. I think Peak Zewu is very different how he plays to Simple. Even Monacy, I think, has the skill to be so. Isn't Simple. Even he can't be that. Like, there are certain players or outliers in the same ways, to use the same analogy. The only player I ever saw before Messi was fucking Maradona. Again, same thing. If you ever go watch, no one has that control. Like, Maradona was playing, washed in the early 90s, boys. And there are players today with all the sports science and infinite training, and none of them can do the shit he was doing, by the way. They can't control the ball that close, they can't go around people. So I agree with you. If you go forwards in time, it'd be mad if someone actually is, like, in the comments now, like, I'm here in 2036, they're right, you know, old man dogs. I don't care in 10 years. If you have any of the mechanics are the same as CS2 and CSGO, nobody will ever be as good at this detail as Donk. I actually think he has purely mastered it in a way. I don't think it's possible to be better at that particular mechanic. Like, that's why that really is his ultimate strength.
Yeah, and it even has like one of those ridiculous like anime-esque storylines behind it as well, right? Because supposedly the reason he got so good at doing that is because he isn't from like a part of Russia that's close to European servers. Okay. Apparently he's like a little bit further out. So he was used to playing on like 100 plus ping all the time when he was playing loads of Faceit growing up.
Okay.
And so his playstyle apparently, like, he was literally like forged in the snowy mountains, you know, having to have the training weights on and
the Rock League training weights immediately we're already thinking of here, I know.
Yeah, like, it just seems like one of these, you know, Batman-esque stories or something, doesn't it? The fact that he had, like, this major disadvantage, and because of it, he developed a kind of skill that no one else has been able to come close to mastering, right? And just to put the cherry on top as well, like, I've teased it already a little bit, but I've been looking back at some historical events, you know, some past majors, some of, like, the great peaks of some players, like Cold Zero, for example, and I've looked at how good they were on some of the metrics that I like, compared to like the average good player at the time, if you know what I mean. And generally speaking, like, if you look at like an entire year sample size, you'll have players that are like 1.5 times better than the average good player.
Yes.
Donk is consistently, time after time, shout out Cyndi Lauper, like 2 times better than the average good player.
Right.
Like, it's actually incredible how he's able to do it so consistently to such a degree as well. If he keeps, I actually think if he retired tomorrow, he might still end up being the GOAT of CS2 individually, not in terms of winning.
And just for these years, he's already got the years for the peak years, right?
And no one else has won like what, a Katowice, a Cologne, a major, like everything in his first year of playing or whatever. Like, it's absurd. Yeah, it's going to sound like glazing, but he's so good.
No, I'll give you a funny example, just because it ties to that thing you said about like the insane origin story where it's like, necessity is the mother of invention, is the famous quote. There's actually a similar example. There's a basketball player in the NBA called Kyrie Irving, who's famous for having amazing handles. Like, he's not only really good at dribbling around people, but famously, when he goes to the to do a layup, right, he has like every little trick that any great player normally has. One of these, like, he can do the finger roll, he can spin it, he can like do a weird angle so it goes back in. And his story is almost equally as stupid. Supposedly, when he used to practice when he was young, that he had like a broken basketball hoop where it just didn't have a part of the backboard, so he couldn't do what you do on a normal layup, which is you just bounce it in off the backboard, it goes straight in the center of the hole. And every other great player just does that because it's the easiest shot to make basically in basketball, and he had to basically learn how to do it without something to bounce off. So he had to figure out every other angle to get it in, but in doing so, when he then goes to the NBA where he has the backboard, he just has a skill set no one else has, and no one else is able to, no one would even attempt to gain that. Because you're right, in that origin story, there's another thing. If you hear that and you go, hey, cool idea, Loz, now I will load up CS and play on 100 ping back on Russian servers, go in the other direction, you will get so bored of that within 5 minutes, you will not spend 5 years. And lastly, there's the other thing, you know that stat about Donk, that, listen, it's cool, but it's also nightmarishly dystopian, which is, if you ever check his hours, he spent like one fourth of his life inside of the CS engine. Again, you can totally see how that would make someone amazing at the game. I just wouldn't recommend it. I feel like, you know what, and even think, and this is for cover your ears, Donk, I don't think it's worth it to even be as good as Donk. Like, I'd rather spend, I don't know, a fifth of my life in the game and, you know, be like 5% worse. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't worth it, bro. It ain't worth it. Please, it ain't worth it. Especially not when Ali's fucking giving all the resources to Zontix. And then Tanae's just sat lurking like, shit, what do I do? That's a nightmare, isn't it? Because to bring it all the way back, this is why we're making such a big deal out of this. I actually do think, put it this way, I also think the same thing in some of, like, this is why Falcons had to do the Hail Mary for Carrigan, because Nico's never going to win a major otherwise. Monacy's already cracked out and he's too good. You know, you have to think in each team, each person has their own perspective and their own scale of what's expected from them. And if you have Donk, that's why we have to do some past episodes. It is like having 2018 simple. If you aren't winning all the events, what excuse do you have?
Yeah, there just isn't one, is there? I mean, I don't know what there's no briloquent answer to fix all the spirits problem. Like, there's not just one thing you can change. It does seem like the issue is just a systemic corruptness, basically. Like, it seems like, for whatever reason, that the way that they want to play CS, they've got one part right. The part they've got right is give Donk everything he wants. The part they sort of struggle to get right is how do we put pieces around him in a way that facilitates him winning? And yeah, when they figure that one out, I do believe they can win everything.
Oh, by the way, I'll give you one last like thought experiment. And this is a challenge to Hallie or anyone from Spirit Listeners, because sometimes they listen to my content. I'll just say this. Imagine this whole conversation and the exact system and all the mouse clicks you're running in your game. And you can have anyone except Donk, but you have to put someone else in Donk's position. Now let me see how that experiment plays out. Run that machine. Run that Rube Goldberg machine. Like, I'm sorry, based on all these numbers, you would be like the 15th best team in Counter-Strike. You would never touch a trophy. You just have the most impossible game changer player ever. And even then, him propping you up with peak levels of play is making you like the third best team.
Yes. Yeah. I think I said this on another podcast as well, but like, imagine you took, like, say, Flames and Zywoo and swapped them with Donk and Shiro, right? Vitality with Donk and Shiro. They would win everything. Spirit with Zywoo. Like, imagine the language barrier isn't a problem.
Sure.
That's kind of necessary for this hypothetical. Like, I think Spirit would probably get, like, maybe 4 ranking points worse. They would look like Vitality used to back in like 2019, right, when Zywoo still looked like an incredible player.
Yeah, yeah.
But because the style of play he has just isn't conducive to like individually completely dominating every game, they would just not look anything near as deadly as they do now.
Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati. So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it, a special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you, or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.